Welcome, life forms, organic and synthetic, to episode 75 of the Nerd Stravaganza podcast, where we treat you the same whether you're made of biological material or something that came out of a fabrication plant of some sort. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
And tonight we will be discussing future dystopias, by which we mean future societies in which artificial life forms or man-made life forms are disrespected and treated like utter crap. But before we get to that, let's kick things off in the here and now with our recent past, with our usual weekly geekly, geekly weekly roundup. Brian, why don't you go first, man? What have you been up to?
Painting and reading. And there's really never anything too exciting to tell about painting. So I almost finished a Stormguard unit, if anyone cares what that means. I'll probably post pictures later. I finished a really good book. Our recent episode about Heinlein got me missing him. So I picked up Job, A Comedy of Justice at a Goodwill for like a quarter, which you can't go wrong. Even if it's a horrible book, you can find something to do with it for a quarter. Very interesting. I don't know if any of our readers are interested in examining their religious beliefs, but it makes you think. It's a fun book. I've always admired that about Heinlein, making you think about something that really, I don't know, it creeps up on you. It really creeps up on you. This one does a really great job too. The character starts off in one world and you just assume it's yours, I think. Well, I just assumed it was mine. So you give him certain personality traits that you're just like, oh, well, you know, people I know are like this. And then later in the book, he winds up in another world and he slowly starts to judge people. And you're like, well, yeah, but they're kind of outrageous, so it's okay to judge those people. And then he winds up in another world, and he starts to judge people. And then he eventually winds up in a world that's a lot like ours, and you're like, wait a minute, where the hell did he start then? And then he judges us, and you're just like, wow, this guy's a dick. Why is he judging people? And you realize, well, I was judging people too.
So it shows you the folly of sitting in judgment over others.
It's pretty awesome, actually. I really like a book that makes you see something in yourself. So I recommend that. Depending on how religious you are, that's either Job or Job, A Comedy of Justice. And after that, speaking of favorite writers, I realized I had never read a Neil Gaiman book. I mean, I read the comics and I've seen like the episodes and all that kind of stuff, but I actually wanted to sit down and read one of his books. So I picked up In Nancy Boys. Very fun so far. Actually, a lot more comedic than I'm used to, I guess, from him.
Yeah, interesting. My exposure, I have to admit, is only in sort of graphic works. So I'm not familiar with what his general tone is. I get a like very The Crow vibe from him.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Not so much. This is actually very Mardi Gras so far, like really joyous and personable. And I don't know if that's normal for him or if it's just he's very good at doing it, but I'm enjoying it.
So a little less The Crow and a little more Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil?
It's actually really funny. It's totally The Shadow Man.
The Shadow Man from the Disney princess movie?
Oh, yeah.
Princess and the Frog? Nice.
It's totally that vibe. Not quite as dark. I mean, I guess that sounds dark, but no, it's definitely. And lastly, a little thing around here. I went to the Indie Craft Bazaar in Fort Lauderdale on Sunday, and that was pretty nice. That always has some interesting finds, and there's always some nerd thing there because I guess that kind of stuff sells. There were comic book coasters. There were R2-D2 bars of soap, which for several reasons I think should be popular in nerd circles.
Mm.
And all kinds of like dresses and bags and stuff made out of old Star Wars sheets and stuff like that. It's really cool. Check it out if you're in town.
Is that a yearly event?
Monthly, I believe. Monthly, as is anything in Florida, is monthly. They don't bother doing that during the scorching summer. So it's like 9 out of 12 monthly.
Okay, got it. Right, yeah, there's the three brutal months where you're better off just hiding in Florida, hiding in a cave somewhere. Does that conclude your update?
That concludes mine. What did you do this week, Tom?
Well, I'm glad you asked. This was a week of wrapping things up. I finished Mass Effect 3, and in so doing, finished the Mass Effect trilogy on the Xbox 360.
Your summer is complete now, huh?
My summer is complete. I think, are we still in summer, or are we technically in fall already?
I think we started fall. I think the gopher saw a shadow.
Oh, okay. Well, I went a little over, but it was one of my goals to complete that trilogy over the summer, and I am now done. Highly recommend it, and definitely got me thinking a lot about tonight's topic, as will come to light when we move on to tonight's topic. So putting that aside, I decided to pick up a little sort of anime-style shooter called, I will never get this name right, I think it's Otomedius Excellent, or Otomedius Excellent, which is a Gradius-style shooter where you play as little girls flying on, I don't know, I guess there's some kind of space scooter. It's fun. It's one of those games where you're going to die a lot. So try to get as far as you can and just go along for the ride. Hit continue until you're done with it. Try to do your best to not die. And I'm sure if you're like an awesome killer shooter person, you can make it through unscathed. I am not that person. But in spite of the numerous deaths, like once I realized, like, you know, I'm going to die a lot, but I get limitless continues, it stopped being frustrating and started to just be fun. So yeah, check that out if you want like a quirky anime style shooter.
What you need to do is start keeping track of all your continues and then add up how much you saved in quarters by buying the game.
That's true. And I think I paid like $10 for the game.
You're probably already broke even.
Yeah. I'm probably already positive on that. Let's see. Also playing a little more Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon on the 3DS. Thoroughly enjoying that game still. I expect I'll be done with that within the next couple weeks. I'm about halfway done by my estimation. And finished reading A Fire in the Sun by Effinger, however you pronounce that late author's name. It's book two of his Bouyadine cycle, as it was called. He wrote three books and was working on a fourth when he passed away. So I'll be moving on to the third, and hopefully we'll soon report back on that and tell you how bummed I am that I will never get to read the fourth. Also, sort of set in a near future. I won't call it a dystopia, but, you know, it's a sort of cyberpunk adventure in a future, and it's a very Islamic future. Definitely also got me in the mind space I need to be to talk about futures, specifically dystopian futures, where the dis is spelled D-I-S, and we are dissing androids and cybernetic life forms and clones and any other man-made engineered life form. Because as we know, it is a very, very well-worn trope that we're going to go to the extreme trouble of creating artificial life only to proceed to treat it like crap. And Brian, as a person who is both a writer and an avid reader, perhaps you can back me up on this. That seems to be a pretty common thread in a lot of sort of dystopian future settings.
It is, but I think it's totally founded based on reality. I think we're going to treat, we treat each other like shit, dude. Why would we treat a robot? I mean,
well, I guess the optimist in me thinks that by the time we get to a point where we can like create life, we ourselves will have matured and we will appreciate like, wow, we haven't just created like a new living thing or a new sort of artificial intelligence. We've created a new person, like a new person with its own motivations and desires to live and its own, you know, I mean, I can't think of a better human achievement than creating brand new life. And how we could not be in awe of that, I don't really understand. So I guess my answer to your point is two-pronged. The first prong being that we will mature as a species to the point where we don't treat each other poorly. And then the second being that we will appreciate the man-made miracle that is new life. But I don't know how realistic that is.
Optimistic indeed.
Yeah. As I said, the trope's pretty well worn. A few examples come to my mind. I guess it is sort of not really highlighted very much, but in the Star Wars prequel trilogy, clones and droids are just like thrown at each other, like just so much fodder. I guess that's happened with like low born human beings too throughout history. So I guess it's not necessarily all that abhorrent or out of keeping with human nature, but they are just kind of throwaways. Like the droids are the clones, which are human beings, are valued as much as like Roger, droids.
Let's see. I would have no problem shredding that guy for the record.
The Roger Roger guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did sort of make them contemptible in a certain way, so I might be with you on that. Let's see. There was the Will Smith adaptation of a book called I, Robot that came out several years ago, wherein the robots wanted to be recognized, you know, as human. And there was like some malicious AI running things behind the scenes. There was, of course, The Matrix, wherein the humans, again, created servant robots, treated them like crap, went to war with them once they got too, like, industrial and industrious and became a threat or a perceived threat, and, you know, things ended badly for humanity. Battlestar Galactica, basically the same thing. People created robots. The robots rebelled because they didn't treat them well. And most recently for me, Mass Effect, where there are a couple of sort of parallel threads wherein it's revealed that organic life creates synthetic life. Synthetic life doesn't want to be treated badly by organic life. Organic life fails to recognize the personhood of synthetic life, and a war ensues. So, I mean, that's several examples of sort of the same disrespect for created life. I'm sure you can think of a couple yourself.
I'm going to mention one just in case. It is not synthetic life, but it's going to tie in later. Surrogates with Bruce Willis. Number one, because I'm a huge fan of Bruce Willis. And number two, because it is about avatars, and people can wear these robot suits and go around and do things they can never do before. And the anti-surrogate group has extreme disrespect for them.
So they don't think that the vessels that these people inhabit are themselves individual life forms, or?
Well, they're not really life forms in that mythos, but they also have extreme disrespect for anyone even wearing it. They like just beat the living shit out of people because, Hey, you're willing to wear a robot? We don't like you.
So if I'm, I confess I've not seen this movie, but if I was in that setting and I was somebody who was confined to a bed and I wasn't able to move around, and I took on a surrogate body, there would be a group of activists who would abuse me in that body.
They actually were religious nuts in the movie, and they just thought that was disrespectful. You know, our body is a temple, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, they would probably do that. And not just in your body. Bruce Willis shows up at one point, like as a human, they call him Meatbag, to investigate like a crime. And they're just like, yeah, no, we're going to beat the hell out of you.
Wow.
So not even just the robot. Like,
but still an interesting take on the human beings disrespecting
anything artificial.
Right. Anything perceived as not making the grade. Gosh, now, I really kind of discounted the power of like fundamentalism and sort of knee-jerk reaction to new developments. So my optimism is... My optimism's been brought down a couple of pegs, put it that way.
Sorry to do that to you, buddy.
So I think we've already established that it's possible that humanity could go to all the great trouble to create intelligent beings, only to mistreat them. But I guess my question is, would we fail to recognize new life when it actually became life? Like, for example, the way I see the transition towards artificial life forms coming about is, we'll create servant robots, so to speak, that are of sort of limited intelligence, right? They're not really self-aware as we define it, and they do our bidding kind of without question, and you shut them down at night and there's no complaint. Or we'll create maybe cloned bodies to harvest organs and so on, and then eventually somebody will get around to clone. I think a cloned human being will make this problem come to the fore a lot sooner than sort of robots. I see a gradual increase in the intelligence of robots until at a certain point, one of them asserts, hey, I'm alive and I don't want to be, you know, I'm a person and I have all the same rights as a human being. With a clone that looks and functions just like a human being, that's going to be a much easier sell than like, you know, Ed 209, like, I don't want to kill people anymore. Brr. But I guess my question is it going to be that we're going to be so used to having these appliances that we won't be able to think of them as anything else until it's too late? Or is it just going to be like straight up prejudice and like fundamentalism, such as you suggested?
Well, I believe I mentioned this before, and I'll do again now. I think with video games, for instance, and with some of the things that we have existing, we're already on the slippery slope. Like, what the hell do you call Siri? Because Siri is an intelligence, isn't it?
Well, to a certain extent, but Siri exists only as a input-output program, right? Siri does not dream when you're not awake, or and it's not. It's a far cry from something that...
I know a lot of people like that.
Well, that comes down to the fundamental question of what intelligence and what life is. Like, Siri's not one day going to, like, just turn itself on and say, hey, I was thinking, because Siri's incapable of thought. Like, Siri's many orders of magnitude removed from the intelligence that will be necessary for something that can really pass the humanity test, or I guess if you want to think of it as a Turing test.
Well, let me ask you this. That Jeopardy robot, was that Watson?
Yeah, Watson, yep.
What do you think of that?
So again, now Watson was brilliant at receiving parameters, processing, and then coming up with answers in the correct format, right? But, I mean, is that the beginning of a mind? Because I guess, think about it, like, you take in your sensory input, and you process it, and you act according to, I guess, dictates of your biological makeup, right?
You know, Watson learned to curse. Like, Watson learned what he was not programmed to do.
Oh, I did not know that. By just, what, listening into, like, engineers or something around him? Or
I don't think it was listening in. I think it was simulating, like, written data. But he learned the context.
Oh, wow.
And so he fucking erased it. They just, like, yeah, we don't like that part. So they lobotomized him without, like, a second thought because he was foul-mouthed.
So there you have a very sophisticated, I guess, learning device, right? I think in machines like that, you see the beginnings of artificial intelligence. But is Watson aware of its own existence?
When something can learn on its own, you have to wonder what that means.
You do. And I mean, so okay, here's maybe like the kernel of the eventual prejudice that will lead to the human synthetic life form strife someday. I think of Watson as like basically an elaborate Google search page where you pass it in information and it does some processing and spits back out a response. Are my descendants going to feel that way about Watson 10,000? It's, you know, descendant that serves them breakfast in the morning and drives them to school and helps their kids with homework and builds their buildings for them and does jobs they don't want to do. Right now, it's an easy sell to say, oh, it's just a computer. But at what point does that not become such an easy sell? Or do we cling to that belief even when the reality of a person is staring us in the face in the form of Watson 10,000.
I guess I'm just really thinking ahead of the curve. I kind of wonder if you're right to think that now.
I feel I am right to think that right now because I don't think of, based on what I know about computers as a middling computer science student or former student, I don't think of Watson as anything close to life. Although I just think of it as a very sophisticated calculator still. But that's my bias, and you clearly have a more open mind toward what constitutes an intelligence. Let me ask you this sort of common man on the street question. If they went to unplug Watson and he said, "Don't unplug me, please," would he have a right to say that? Would you get his back and say, like, "Oh no, he doesn't want to be unplugged"?
I'd be torn. Again, this is we're coming up on it later, but I totally think Watson could pass a Turing test.
So that's. The Turing test, I think, has always been something kind of theoretical, and there have been sort of Turing tests like games. And even a lot of computer science students will get an assignment to develop some facsimile of a, you know, Turing of a machine that can pass such a test, given, you know, limited parameters. But something I always wondered about is how broad are the parameters? Like, I think to truly pass, there would have to be no circumstance under which a machine would fail to resemble a human being. So that leads to yet another fundamental question. Is being able to fool someone into thinking you're a human a qualification for humanity? If nobody can say any different, are you in fact human? Are you in fact alive? Like, if I can't disprove that you're alive, are you alive? I guess here we are, where we're pecking back at the edges of the question I think we're driving towards. Like, whether now or in the future, if an intelligence that we created asserts its personhood, and unless we can prove that it's not a person, do we have to accept it as a person?
I don't know.
Yeah, I, well, you know, I don't know the answer to that either, but I do know, according to these well-worn sci-fi tropes, and when I say well-worn, I don't mean to say that in a negative way. I know I don't really know how else well-worn sci-fi tropes comes across, but we know that if you fail to recognize the personhood of your creations, they rise up against you and you have war on your hands. Oh, and that reminds me of, actually, another great example that I didn't mention, which isn't robots, unless I'm mistaken. I don't remember if they were... No, I believe they're biological. What were the creatures in Blade Runner? Those were actually just short-lived artificial humans, were they not?
I don't recall the specifics.
I want to say they were. I want to say they recalled. They called them skin.
Skin jobs, weren't they? But
was that Blade Runner? I think so. So there you had another second class citizen, and if one of those things dared to assert its humanity and act as its own agent, doing what it wanted to do. Harrison Ford got sent out to take care of it, right? So,
but I think they kind of knew that was, well, maybe it was easier. Weren't they self-terminating? Weren't they supposed to just fade away after a certain age?
Yeah, they were short-lived by design. And, geez, I'm trying to think. I really need to watch that movie again. I want to say the antagonist was on a quest to defeat that self-limiting factor. But, I mean, how fair is that to basically make a disposable class of human being that's short-lived on purpose and relegate it to this inferior caste? That's awful. Like, that seems worse to me than not recognizing the humanity of Hal or Watson 10,000, because this is clearly, to look at it, a human being. It has all the attributes you would associate with a human being, never mind being able to fool you over the telephone in some kind of a Turing test scenario. Here you've got your fellow man, and you're willing to completely discount his humanity.
Deckard did acknowledge that was murder, didn't he?
See, again, I'm... Yeah, yeah.
That's he acknowledged, but rules is rules.
Well, okay, and that's what it comes down to. Again, rules is rules, but at a certain point, the rules were you killed people that looked a certain way, or you killed people that worshipped a certain way. Well, them is still the rules in certain parts of the world, let's be honest. That never leads to anything good. You're never going to be able to...
It depends on which side you're on, I guess.
Well, it never leads to good in the end, does it? I mean, the oppressed group either gets eradicated to the great shame of the oppressor, or eventually they throw off their shackles, either through force of arms or with the aid of people who are sympathetic to their oppressed status. And then, even if there's not retribution against the former oppressor, that's a permanent black mark on that oppressor class's sort of resume going forward, right? You never live that down. So... do we want centuries from now there to be recorded in our history books the age of synthetic oppression, where we beat down androids and synthetic life forms and clones and all that sort of thing?
I still think people are going to look back on video games and be horrified.
What?
They had these artificial intelligences whose only job was to be slaughtered for pleasure?
Wait, so you think the bandits from Borderlands 2 are... or somehow alive and intelligent?
Not necessarily, but I think in a different context, when people are looking back and they understand what they understand 1,000 years from now, that artificial intelligences are alive, they're not going to realize that we didn't realize that, or that our primitive intelligences weren't alive.
Oh, you think so? You think some archaeologist firing up an Xbox or a PC to play one of our old shooters is going to be like, my God, the barbarism?
Yeah.
Huh, not realizing that it was all make-believe to us. Maybe even the concept of eradicating even very rudimentary facsimiles of human beings will seem barbaric to our descendants. But if they're melting down androids and robots for daring to get quote-unquote uppity, they are not really going to have any leg to stand on. I just want to point that out. So one of the ways to prevent conflict between robots, I know in particular, and humans in the future... is by establishing a set of laws of robotics. And you being the well-read member of our cast, you might know where this originated. But there was somebody at some point who set down the laws of robotics, right?
Asimov, I think.
Correct. Yes, thank you. I knew you'd get my back on that one. Is that fair?
It wasn't Will Smith.
I thought it was Will Smith. Will Smith Asimov. He's the new Asimov. Murder's a new trick for a robot. You know where that's a quote from.
Yeah.
So yeah, in a way it makes sense, right? It ensures harmony, but aren't you laying out rule number one, you will always be inferior. Rule number two, you're inferior. Rule number three, recognize that you're still inferior. Like, setting down rules to govern things that we haven't created yet relegates them to a position of inferiority before we've even created them, these new life forms. And it seems unfair right off the bat to assume that the children of man, as it were, the children of mankind, are going to want to be subservient to mankind for all eternity and are not going to want at least equal footing.
Well, once upon a time, we told all kinds of people they were inferior.
Right, and it was wrong.
That never worked out, so...
Right.
I don't think this would be any different.
Exactly, and that's what I was getting at. So I think that we should probably... If we don't want a dystopia where these life forms are dissed thoroughly, long before we get to that point where I'm convinced that some descendant of Watson, the computer, is alive, we need to re-examine our thinking on the rights and the position in society of artificial life forms. And I don't know, I wouldn't mind seeing, and maybe I just haven't looked hard enough, and maybe it's because I like the pew, 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 boo, 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 you know, sci-fi that I haven't seen this. I wouldn't mind seeing a representation of a future society wherein these synthetic life forms, these artificial life forms, these life forms created through means other than sexual reproduction, have become integrated members of society. Like, it would be cool to see an android come walking through the door and for you as a viewer or a reader think, oh, wow, an android, but nobody really marks them as anything special. You know, even in Star Trek, for example, Data was seen as this oddity, this novel life form. Can you think of a sci-fi setting, you know, where these life forms are just part of society?
I can think of a few that deal with the question, but not really any that just are. Maybe if you kind of wanted to stretch it, Alien, Aliens, I guess, because Ripley was the only one that cared that he was a synthetic.
Oh, Bishop, you mean?
In the second one, was it? Mother was in the first and Bishop was in the second one, right?
Yeah, Mother was a ship computer and Bishop was the android, yeah. And they didn't like the androids. Like, they had distrust of them, right? Or Ripley did in particular, wasn't it?
Well, Ripley did because she was like 1,000 years old and had all these old... Again, Aliens, the sequel.
Right, yes. She'd been in stasis, so she had these prejudices.
But everyone else was just like, yeah, he's a robot. What are you talking about?
Right, the Marines
were just like, dude, he's one of us.
And he assured her, like, oh, no, my model is much more docile and, like, human-compatible.
So maybe docility is the answer. Maybe they were able to accept him because he was limited.
I'd really like to know, in that universe, the means through which his line of synthetic life forms were made more compatible with humanity. Like, was their hardware and software just improved? Or was there, like, a summit where they sat them down? Like, look, guys... You know, future instances of you need to obey certain rules so that you can play nice with humans.
It did come up that he was programmed to kill himself to serve humans, wasn't it?
That's right. He was.
That's one of the rules of robotics. So.
Yeah, and he of course accepted it, but that then, as I think of him now getting ripped in half, it was a noble sacrifice, but the poor guy had no choice. He was programmed to, like, get ripped in half rather than let a human die.
Right, that would have been heroic if it was one of the Marines, but this guy...
Yeah, he was programmed to do that. Like, so I don't know. If there's a way to create a synthetic life form that's right up to the edge of being self-aware without being self-aware, you know what I mean? So that it's like a... essentially like a drone today, like a self-piloting drone. I'm more okay with that than making something intelligent, but programming basically slave software, slave behavior into it, so it's always subservient. There's something just kind of diabolical about that in my mind.
I don't see any difference in whipping generations to believe they're shit, and we're just programming in, you're shit.
Well, okay, because we believe in something called universal human rights. Every human being born on the earth has the right to certain things, and to take away those things is to impinge on rights that are conferred with humanity. You can't be forced into servitude. I don't have to enumerate all the human rights that we recognize today. it's taken us a long time. It's taken us most of our history to get to the point where we at least pay lip service to human rights.
I think it is lip service, though. Because, you know, at least in theory, we're sure as hell willing to install thousands of years worth of whipping into a single line of code.
Wait, in what context?
Well, in Bishop's case, or whatever his name was.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, by the time we get to, what is it, the 22nd, 23rd, 24th century, whenever the Alien and Aliens movies take place, those movies were such an awful projection of the 1980s into the future that I really hope we never get there as a species. Like, just rampant, like, capitalism and disregard for human life. If the 1980s are our future, then I can totally see slave code in Bishop's mind, and I can totally see, like, Weyland Yutani just sending people to their deaths in the name of profit. But that's a dystopia on more levels than just the dissing part. They're not just dissing synthetic life. Human life has no value in that future. And that is a very much capitalism gone awry future that I hope we don't ever reach as a species.
Now that you mention it, she was working off an indenturement, wasn't she? Didn't she have to pay for her rescue or something?
Or they somehow pressed her back into service for the corporation. I'd have to rewatch the movies, but yeah. If our future is anything like that movie depicts it to be, maybe we deserve to get wiped out by either like xenomorphs or our own creations, because that's awful. So slave code aside and second class citizenship aside, or maybe not aside, but put off to the periphery for just a moment, consider downloading your personality. Actually, this goes back to, what was the movie you mentioned?
Surrogates.
You're at the end of your natural life. You've had all the procedures that could possibly be offered to extend the life of your body, the body you were born with. You're 300 or 400 years old. Okay, sir, it's time to really consider downloading into an alternate form. We can put you in a cool computer. We can put you in the World of Warcraft, or we can download you into a robot body or a synthetic body, or we can make a clone of you and then put you into that. Are you still human? Especially in the context of a world wherein clones are second class. They're essentially transferring your consciousness into a clone body, right? And let's assume, never mind the whole, well, wait, if there's two copies of you, which one's real, which one's not? Let's assume that they could just instantly transfer whatever brain state, soul, whatever that is you into the other body, right? So there's no question that there's you are the only you. Do you then lose status? Are you now a clone? Are you now a skin job? Are you now a toaster? Are you now a copy or a fax or something? You know, are you going to be accorded the same respect you were in your original body?
I would think that's determined by how common it is. If that's where everyone suspects they'll wind up, they'll probably want to believe you're still human, whether they do or not.
So in that setting, wherein people extend their life by going into new bodies, it would be really difficult for the bigots to say that clones or artificial life forms aren't human, right? Because, like, what? How am I any different than you? You're in a lab-grown body, except that your consciousness was transferred into that body from a womb-born original. Like, is that really what it's going to come down to? Like, I was born of a woman. I'm superior.
That's a much shakier argument than anything else. I don't see how anyone could support that. Of course, I don't see how anyone could support you're dark, so I don't like you either. So,
right. Yeah, sitting where we are today, it seems absurd to us that it was ever regarded as okay to judge someone based on, like, superficial attributes, right? 300 years from now, the things that we still judge people on, actually, to go back to the book you mentioned earlier about judging, are going to seem quaint and ridiculous, right? We judge people in ways we probably don't even recognize right now. Like, we're at a time where, like, you know, gay people are getting rights and a lot of the old prejudices of the past are finally burning away. But who knows? There's probably 50 other ways in which we discriminate that we don't even recognize right now. So hundreds of years from now, when questions of creating artificial life are something that people are really going to have to grapple with, don't you think we'll be in a more enlightened place as a species? No longer will somebody born in the wrong tribe or you know, into the wrong faith be regarded as second class, hopefully.
I hate to be pessimistic, but the only way I see that happening is for there to be, like, practically one faith, practically one tribe. I mean, even in Star Trek, is anyone religious any longer? There are no states or nationalities or anything. They're all Federation, right? So they're accepting because they all happen to be on the same team.
Well, yeah, the only people who are really religious are members of, like, alien races. And then their religion is sort of a benign, you know, spiritualism, kind of a hippie spiritualism, where it only enhances their humanism, right? Like, my religion is that we're so human that we worship being human. Like, the only time you encounter sort of a Abrahamic-inspired religion in Star Trek is when it's like some backwards culture that needs to be reformed, right? So they take a very dim view of religion in that.
Right, the crazy colonists who are about to die horribly.
Rescue
those nuts.
Exactly. But, yeah, I think that's what we're going to. Like, tribalism, as it has existed throughout most of human history, seems to be on the wane. Now, there are some who hold that tribalism and wanting to separate ourselves and wanting to exclude the other for our benefit or, you know, safety or what have you, is sort of part and parcel of human nature, so that we'll always create an other, even if it comes down to political parties. And if that's the case, then once you create androids or clones or any kind of synthetic life form, that's such a convenient other that now I'm wondering if we'll be able to help discriminating, even in just some subtle way, against them.
To quote some guy, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it, is unification acceptance? If we all become one tribe and we're all living happily ever after, we don't have any idea how to accept anyone not from our tribe. We happen to be doing it at the moment, but again, that's just because we all happen to be on the same team. So when someone shows up or when someone is different, I think we're actually crippled to accepting them.
So I see what you're saying. So we're actually starting to recognize that we are all the same team, like, and have been all along. And a lot of these differences have been petty and sort of without really any merit. As a species, we're coming to that realization. It's kind of slowly and painfully.
Theoretically, in this Star Trek future, I don't think we're quite there today.
Well, you know, we're talking on a scale of a few hundred years. The world, you have to admit, the world in the early 2000s is a lot better than it was in the early 1800s in terms of recognizing the humanity of others.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but in another 200 years, you have to imagine that it will be better if we continue along this trajectory. Though it might seem silly to us that we were ever fighting our own, once we have created something that is not our own, is that a convenient target on which to heap all of our prejudice?
Right now, I think we have people growing up and being exposed to two differences and becoming comfortable accepting them and understanding, yeah, dude, you're different, but so what? That's okay. When you're really surrounded by self, by us, and a them appears, I don't know if you're going to be prepared for it at all. I don't know if you might just shit yourself. Like, what the fuck? Three arms? You're a mutant. Die.
Or, what the hell? You're an android. What? You're a human being? You want to do what? You don't want to wash my car? Yeah. So maybe there's a reason more creative minds than mine have gone down this road with their fiction. They see a sort of inevitable tendency in mankind toward exclusion of the new and or the other, even if we created the new. Once the thing we created behaves in a way that challenges our preconceived notions for how it should behave, you've got an other. You've got something to be feared and or suppressed or beaten down. Oh, this is a bummer, man. I don't want us to make artificial life. This is what it's going to come to. So let's go to the end game. Assuming there is a somewhat rocky transition wherein we create new life forms and they assert themselves as independent life forms that want to be afforded all the same rights and privileges we are. Will we eventually come to a place, hopefully without warfare and bloodshed, but maybe with those things, where we reach a peace and we learn to coexist and we maybe even fuse as one?
Without bloodshed? I don't know.
We love bloodshed, and our creations will probably love bloodshed too. We'll probably imbue them with that, right?
Yeah, pretty likely. We'll probably have like guard dog robots before we have anything else, and
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to go through that period.
The first, like, really, like, useful, you know, android-type robots or anthropomorphic robots, however you want to put it, will be, like, killbots. That's a sad reality. But I hope we come to a point where we're not creating something other than the human family. I hope we get to a point where we're actually extending the family. We're creating and adding new members and diversifying the human race and extending what it means to be a person or a human or, you know, a life, really, an intelligent life. That's about as rosy and poetic as a spin I can put on it.
Optimistic. I hope so.
Well, we'll be dead long before that, so make sure to disrespect your Roomba and...
Whatever, man. I'm downloading myself in, like, 2057.
Yeah, is that when the big event happens? Like, isn't that when we're supposed to have, like, the tech singularity, when, like, we just break free from our mortal shackles and we can download ourselves and stuff?
I actually just pulled that number out of my, out of thin air. But yeah, it is supposed to happen in our lifetime. Next 50 years, I think we'll have digital immortality.
You might be onto something. That's very Kurzweilian of you. Talk about a futurist who's optimistic and who might take issue with our sort of dim view on the synthetic future. I recommend Ray Kurzweil if you want to have a very techno-rosy take on the future. Very interesting. Well, cool. I think we've come to the conclusion that a dystopia is entirely possible.
Pretty likely.
But needn't be the final state of things. We may, when it's all said and done, come to a place of peace, understanding, and, as in Mass Effect 3, synthesis with our creations. Here's hoping. I hope my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren listen to this podcast and see me as prescient. And yours as well, Brian.
And we may be the only ones to admit that, you know, no, we're not killing Borderland bandits just for shits and giggles. They're really not intelligences to us. We're not xenocidal.
That's correct. Understand that I don't perceive the Borderlands bandits as anything more than just representations of fictional characters on a screen. If their humanity is recognized at some point, I apologize for killing them. But all I know is I turn my Xbox on and there they are, and I got to get the achievement, so they got to die. Well, you don't have to wait several generations to listen to our podcast. Though, if you are listening from the distant future, we thank you. You came a little too late to benefit us, but we hope we're benefiting you. However, if you are alive in our day and age, we highly encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, to rate us 5 stars. And if you are not into iTunes or you prefer streaming, I also offer you Stitcher.
And don't forget to follow us on our many social media outlets. We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, all under Nerdstravaganza.
And the Nerdstravaganza.com website, where you can check out all of our episodes and find a link to our email, which, in case you don't feel like navigating to our website, is nerdstravaganza@gmail.com. So, I think that brings us to the end of the episode. We will see you guys next week.